Amen, amen. Praise God. You're getting your Bibles turned into the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. And as I'm letting you figure out where that is and find that, say we are recently back from Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Peak Conference. And it was fantastic. And one particular night, there was over an hour long altar service. Young people by the thousands, probably somewhere around 4,000 in the altar, weeping and praying, and not a stitch of music. No music for over an hour. And young people just praying and seeking God. And so no telling what all happened on Friday night, miracles and such like that. And so, amen, we give God praise for all of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you found Genesis 1? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd tell you what page number it is, but my Bible doesn't have that page number. As a matter of fact, my Bible doesn't even have page numbers. Praise God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. I could read probably the entire chapter. I think that it is extremely powerful that God just spoke and it happened. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 2, I think it is, or I think that's what it is, somewhere in there. It's talked about that the worlds were framed by the spoken word of God. That things that were not became because God began to speak. Amen. I'm reaching way back here tonight, or this morning. An old evangelistical message that I preached years ago. I searched the archives of my message log to find out if I'd ever preached it in this church. One of two things: I've never preached it here, or if I did, I didn't record it. And then I went over to all of my messages and I started looking for it. I looked for this message in every form and fashion, and I know I preached it, I won't say all over America, but pretty close. And I looked for it. I couldn't find it. One of two things. It either got deleted or I never made notes for it. And I tend to lean upon the second part of that. I don't think I've ever made notes for it. And so anyways, this morning I have notes. So whether I've preached it here or I haven't preached it here, this time's going to be different to a degree because I have notes. And so I just simply want to preach here this morning for a few minutes of time, a move of God in chaotic times. A move of God in chaotic times. Praise the Lord. Would you open up your heart? Would you open up your spirit as you lift your voice unto Him? And would you just ask the Lord to help us here today? Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you. Holy Ghost, we need you in this house here today. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are great. You are greatly to be praised. You are magnificent and wonderful, Lord. God, we need that move in this place here this morning. We need your presence to move in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need your spirit to move in this place today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. I want to interject here this morning before I get cranking up and stuff. It was so good to see Brother Henry at Peak.
Yeah.
And he got to specially fly in for the services and flew back to be with his mom yesterday. But it was good. I've come to report that he hasn't gained a bit of weight. Anyways, it was good to see him. Praise God. This world has had its fair share of pressure throughout the ages, throughout all of history. Pressure has caused things to conform. Pressure has been the purpose and the reason for different formations. Pressure has caused different events to happen throughout all of history. Obviously, pressure from world leaders in the world has caused some to resist and to reject, and it has opened up warfare. And the world has experienced its fair shares of war. And instead of just men leaving their life and their blood upon the grounds, in today's day and age, the events of war leaves the scars of war upon the face of the earth. I remember back in the day when first visiting and around Colorado Springs, there's a place that is right there to the west of the city that is called NORAD. And NORAD was designed basically to be impregnable, that it could not be broken into, and that if there were to be some type of nuclear war back even in the 40s and the 50s, that the leaders of America, the important who's who among American importance, would be able to go to that mountain and go deep down, and everything that they needed was in that vicinity. They had their own water supply, their own generators, their own food supplies, their meats, their vegetables, everything that they needed was in that place. And they would be able to run whatever was left, be able to make decisions from right there in that area. Today, NORAD is really obsolete. And even though that they have, it is still in existence. Even though that it is still there, buried deep into the mountain. And even though that they still continue to do different construction work within. In today's technology, there are so many different ways to take that area down. There are bombs that have the capacity to go through mountains, pardon the pun, of rock, and be able to penetrate that area. And such is nothing new in the world. Many, many years ago, centuries ago, there was a place by the name of Sardis. Sardis was titled Sardis the Impregnable. Nobody was able to break into Sardis. And you can read in the book of Revelations concerning the church that is there in Sardis, and how that God warned them and likened them unto the impregnable city, but that God could do it. Sardis was susceptible. There was a hidden trail somewhere. And one day, after many, many months of trying to overtake Sardis, the enemy, the opposition, saw a soldier standing upon the wall and how that he dropped his helmet over the side and he disappeared and later returned. And so this one soldier set out to find how that had happened. And he found a trail that led up. And they were able to go in through the cover of darkness and to annihilate all of those that was in Sardis. Sardis, not learning its lesson, would experience the exact same thing many years later in a different warfare. The world in the 40s was so concerned about a man by the name of Adolf Hitler and how that he had an agenda to not only wipe out a complete race of people, but to bring other nations under his control. Benito Mussolini was in with him. Joseph Stalin represented another leader that had his own agenda to do things. And even though that he was fighting alongside others, he had his own personal individual agenda that if he could get there first, then he could take control. But before they put the pressure upon the world, there was a man by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte who had similar goals and ambitions and did his thing, but he had his falling. Before Bonaparte was a man by the name of Genghis Khan, and Khan was a world conqueror and trying to do his thing. But before the pressure of Genghis Khan was pressure by one named Julius Caesar. But Julius Caesar learned from another one by the name of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great just studied history and learned from a man by the name of Cyrus the Great, the Persian. And we can go on and on all the way back unto the pharaohs of Egypt that were holding the Israelites under captivity and in a land of slavery. But I would say to you today that that is only the manifestation of what happens in the spiritual world. Going back to the book of Genesis 3 and how that the serpent beguiled the woman, Eve, and caused her to partake of the tree. And the battle began for the ages of eternity. I would tell you today that even as there is unrest in our world today, I was looking today at different articles in the news that taking the headlines, doing studies, and just basically seeing what is the headlines of today's news. And I don't know exactly when it happened. It may have been today or yesterday within the past few days, but our president that had once announced that we had totally obliterated three nuclear facilities within Iran is taking his words back. And he's saying that only one of them was totally obliterated and the other two were basically unscathed. And saying, I don't know exactly what is going to happen at this time. And so the unrest that is in and upon the face of the earth today, the pressures that are there, and I quickly just did a search about different wars and the different volatilities that are in our land, upon the world, the face of the world today. And I was amazed by all of the conflict and the wars and even the rumors of wars, even as the Bible would state, that are ongoing in this day. It's more than just just Russia and Ukraine not coming to a peace table to talk, but it is the aggression and the step up of all of the desires that they have, and with no intentions really of slowing down.
It's not just the conflict in the Middle East concerning Israel and Hezbollah, Israel and Iran, but Japan is stating that China has begun military practices that supersede the practices that they have been doing in many, many decades. And they are fearing. Taiwan is living in fear. Moments and places of Africa is under war and heavy oppression. Governments are embattled with different gangs and such throughout third world countries. There is pressure upon all. It is in these places and foreign countries that our missionaries oftentimes do not possess the liberty to express their worship in the manners that you and I do. They do not many of them do not have facilities that are in the open that they can go and congregate together and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them are going back to the days of Acts where they went from house to house and broke their bread with singleness and gladness. Amen. Teaching the word of God from place to place. And who knows, there may come a time that even America has to go back to that time that we go from house to house and spreading the doctrine and spreading the word of God, amen, like that. I would tell you that not only is that worldly pressure, not only is that secular pressure, not only is that war type pressure, but it is driven by spiritual oppression and spiritual pressure. And the world is beginning to feel and has felt for some time, amen, the difference and the chaoticness, amen, of times and how that they are changing. Amen. Time has begun to erode morals that men have always stood for. Time has begun to give different sects of people and different race of people platforms and foundations to broadcast their beliefs and their agendas. And we see that even small percentages of certain groups of people have found their place. And even though it may not be at a rally on a platform, it is manifested in the riots, manifested in the signs, manifested in the destruction of properties, manifested in the burning of vehicles, and in the burnings of buildings and the lootings of buildings as the evil begins to pervade and darkness begins to sift down upon the face of the earth. I look to the horizon and I see the setting of the sun. Amen. And the pervading darkness. Amen. As eternity is on the verge of taking place. Amen. Some person said many, many years ago, amen, that all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And today the ridicule concerning good men standing to do something, amen, is being propagated and pushed even through the legal systems where judges are feeling the audacity, the power, and the authority to withstand nominated presidents. I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about in every area of the world. You see the general population rising against authority. Authority whether good or bad is relative to the individual's perspective. Some believe that they are right and governments are wrong. Today we would look from a Christian and a spiritual standpoint, and we would say that some governments are right and some governments are wrong. I just want to tell you there is a spirit that is behind it. It is a demonic spirit that is behind it. And I would say that it's not going to get any better. As a matter of fact, my Bible says that when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. I'm not looking for worldwide peace. I'm not looking for things in the secular world to get better. I'm not expecting the world in the view of politics to get better. The only thing that I am expecting to shine in the darkness is the church of the living God. And it ought to be that no matter how dark this world gets, the church is determined to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And the only way that that can happen is somebody's got to lift up their voice against the spiritual oppression. Somebody's got to fall upon their knees into a warlike position, amen, of prayer. Somebody's got to push away the plate and begin to seek after the God of heaven. The church has got to lift their voice and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. But until then, there's a lost soul that has been blinded by the gods of this world, that they are unable to see this glorious gospel. There is a church that possesses the power, amen, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a church that must stand up and propagate the truth. For I still believe that they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. Praise God. Can we take some time and love the Lord here today? Amen. Unprecedented times. And sometimes some of these things are historical. Amen. I preached not too long ago and I said, if there's anything that we learn from history, it's that we never learn anything from history. And so some of these things are just happening again and again and again. And it's historical. Amen. In World War I, America thought that they could ship Britain weapons, amen, under the guise of a party boat and send it from America to Great Britain. But the Germans saw through it and sank. Amen. And the thousands upon innocent people that had no idea what was going on in the bottom of that boat died and paid for it with their lives. America thought that they could do it again in World War II, and they sent a boat, amen, under the guise of a party boat, and was filled with weapons for the Britons. But Germany one more time saw through it all and sent forth to sink that boat, and thousands of innocent people lost their lives, thinking that life was a party and grand, and they were going to have the party of their life. Amen. I am here to say that Satan, amen, is doing his best to lie to the population of this world, propagating lies and untruths and the spreading of false doctrine. Amen, the propagation of false doctrines and all of these other things, the love and the licentiousness of the world. Let me just give you an example that it wasn't but about 2 to 3 decades ago that if a homosexual was broadcast upon a national television, amen, the general population was revolted against it. Amen. They couldn't stand it. But just give it time and it's got its place and it's got its spot and it's made it into the ways of homes all across this entire world. It is an agenda that is put forth unto our young people and taught in our schools. Amen. And mama doesn't have a right and daddy doesn't have a right to stand against little Johnny's 4 years 3-year-old, 4-year-old Johnny's decision that all of a sudden he thinks that he's a girl, and mama and daddy are losing their rights to stand and to say, you're not going to teach that to my children. Hey, man, it is a push, a demonic push from the pit of hell. Hey, man, as evil begins to get a hold of this world, the church has got to come alive. The church has got to pray. The church cannot stand. Hey, man, when the world is working overtime, Jonah's in the bottom of a boat asleep. When the world is working overtime, the church, hey, man, is being pushed with lethargy and apathy. Hey, man, it is a part of the end time spirit. We have got to stand. We have got to fight. We cannot have just a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. We've got to embrace the power. The power is in prayer. The power is in preaching. The power is in response to the preaching. The power is in fasting. The power is in having church. The power is congregating together. The power is pushing the gospel. We've got to not only promote the power, we've got to accept the power, and we've got to practice the power. If God be for us, then who can be against us? You've got power. Your voice has power. Your actions has power. Your choices have power. Stand up and be accounted for. Paul said, having done all to stand. Therefore, it's time for the church to stand. It's not time for the church to sit back and to lay back, but it's time for the church to take action. We need a move of God in chaotic times. Living for God is not going to get easier. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Living for God is not going to get easier. It's going to become more stressful. It's going to be more pressure. You're going to be made fun of. That's what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that your own family members would rat you out. Amen. In those last days. Amen. It's going to be stressful. It's going to be pressure oriented. And the church cannot go into a closet and just think it is good to exist. We must understand that as long as our leader sees fit to need somebody to propagate the gospel and to push it forth, then we've got to rise to that occasion. As long as our leader, amen, sees fit to save one more lost soul, then we have got to see the necessity to find somebody else to save their souls. Amen. But the pressure is upon the church. I would say that there is an immense amount of pressure. There is no pastor preaching truth that I know of, not one, that does not want to have revival, that does not want more in his assembly than he currently has. Amen. He may not show it like others would show it, but I would say that every pastor wants to have more in his assembly than they have. And so the pressure is, do you want to preach truth or do you want to water down truth? If you water it down, more people would come. And the pressure is, let's let up. Let's not preach it like we used to preach it. Let's not be so dogmatic. Let's not be so stalwart. Let's not be so stubborn. Let's be open-minded. Let's just see what is and what lays ahead of us. Let's just see. And oftentimes, what lays ahead and what is accepted is damnable simply because, amen, men never recover from making wrong choices. I want to be careful in every choice that I make. But you're seeing things that are pervading and prevailing and pushing their ways into the church. And we've got to stand against those things. Amen. We got to proclaim the gospel, the whole gospel, the truth, and nothing but the truth. If it was wrong for Paul and Silas, if it was wrong for Peter and in Timothy, then it's got to be wrong for us today. Without that, then God is not a just God. God is not, amen, a God, amen, that has no prejudices. Amen, if he's going to hold Paul accountable for something, I want you to know that he's going to hold us accountable for something. What does that mean? I come against that that refute that says those were just the Bible times, and that was just in the Bible ages and in the Bible times. Well, my Bible tells me that I'm going to be judged out of the Bible. I'm going to be judged for what the Bible says. Amen. And I know that the Bible says that if any man add to the word, or if any man take away from the word, that he is a liar. Amen. And that his name will be removed from the book of life. I've got an obligation. I've got an authority. Amen. To preach the Bible and to stand for what the Bible says. Amen. You understand today that I can plant and others can plant, and I can water and others can water. But Paul said, it is God that give the increase. I'm not responsible for the increase. I'm not responsible for seeing more people. Amen. God said, if you plant, more will come. If you water, more will come. You've got a duty. You've got an obligation. You got to plant the seed. You got to water the seed. And then let God take care of it. You got to open your mouth. And you got to tell somebody else. Jesus said, let your light, let your light, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and magnify your Father which is in heaven. We need a move of God in chaotic times. That lying devil is going to tell you it doesn't really matter. That lying devil is going to tell you that God doesn't really care about that. Let me just interject this. I know why I didn't have notes for this message forever, because I don't use them. I don't understand why people will listen to carnal, evil, adulterous, fornicating, cheating, lying, manipulating, scandalous family members. Can I say it like that? I don't apologize for it. You had nothing good to say about them in times past, and now you're listening to their biblical theology of how that God doesn't care about that. And there were times that you wouldn't even let your kids go over to their house. And now you want to listen to their biblical theology. I don't claim to be anybody. I don't claim to be anything. I'm not Paul. I'm not studied and well-versed in studying at the feet of Gamaliel and all those other things. I'm probably more like Peter, just a rogue fisherman. Amen. Out on the water, trying to mend some nets, trying to catch some fish. And the Lord says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But I'm mesmerized how people, I'll just say it like this. I got a phenomenal pastor that I sat under that knows the word of God frontwards, forwards, and backwards. And he actually had a program that that he would just write in his notes, and he would just type the verse, and to type book, chapter, and verse. And it would just put the verse on the screen. And I was amazed about how much knowledge that he had, that he just knew where it was. And he just typed it in and put it in, and there it happened, and there it all was. And I understand a lot of that the longer that I go on. Just for instance, the more that we preach, the more that we are familiar with these different verses and areas and such. I've got college courses. I've taken courses in what we would call three or four different colleges and such. But I am mesmerized at how people will quit church because of some evil, malicious, facetious individual that knows nothing about the Bible. Their lifestyles do not reflect the Bible. Their lifestyles do not reflect the Word of God. Their lifestyles do not do anything that even is comparable to the Word of God. But yet, for some reason, their voice has weight over a preacher that has given his life to the studying of the Word of God. I'm not here to boast. I'm not here to toot my own horn or to put forth my resume and stuff. I've been preaching since I was 16 years of age. I preached my first revival at 16 years of age. I'm 49, almost 50 years old. Amen. That kind of scares me. Amen. And you've had a pastor that was before I. Amen. That gave his life to the Word of God. What I'm preaching here this morning is nothing new. Amen. Why would you want to listen to an adulterous individual that tells you, amen, that the Word of God, amen, is just for the Bible times? Why do you want to listen to somebody that's a liar and a cheat and a thief? Amen. That wants to tell you, amen, that that was just in biblical times and God doesn't expect it out of us today. Show me that in the Bible. Where is that verse that says, amen, AD 150, God changed the time and he only holds those that was in Bible times responsible for scripture. But after that, it changed until the 1900s, and it changed again. If that's the type of doctrine and message you want, you ought to be a Jehovah Witness, or you ought to be a Muslim, or you ought to be a Mormon, or you ought to be this, or you ought to be that. You understand that there was a time that wasn't too long ago in the 1900s, amen, and it may have been a few hundred years ago, but everybody looked the exact same, but they got away from the Bible. They stopped preaching scripture. They no longer believe scripture, and today they're unrecognizable. You don't know them from the world. You don't know if they're this or that. And one thing that you do know is they're not apostolic. God has got a people that he said are going to be different than all the people upon the face of the earth. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, wherefore come out from among them the world and be ye separate. We've got a man to be separate. You know why? Our lights don't blend. Their lights, amen, is false. Their light is evil. Their light is prevailing darkness that wants to blow out the light of truth. But I'm telling the church today to stand, amen, and to make noise for God. So 35 minutes into this, let's get to the notes. The Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth concerning the end of times. For the devil, he's still the devil. He was the devil in Genesis 3. He's the devil all the way over here in Revelations 12. He's still the devil in 2025. He don't change. The devil has come down unto you having great wrath. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. That's not my words. That's God's word. Say, well, if I accept and I believe all that I'm supposed to accept and all I'm supposed to believe, then my family's going to have nothing to do with me. Let me just tell you like this. I'm not going to hell with my family. If all of my family wants to turn and walk away and stuff, I'm not going to hell with my family. You know what that type of spirit is? That type of spirit has put my light out. That ain't going to happen. For the enemy having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He has but a short time. And so he's going to work extra hard. Amen. That ought to not only alert the church, but ought to cause great consternation for the church in the fact that
I got to do something. We need a move of God in chaotic times. Jesus said in Matthew 14 that many false prophets shall arise. We're seeing that happen. It's just different denominations. If you don't like that church, the devil's got another one for you. If you don't like what that preacher says, devil's got another one for you. If you live in Louisiana and you don't like that church, you just go down the road and go to the same church, but you don't like that preacher because that preacher made you mad because he told you truth, so you just go find you another preacher somehow or another. We think that this world is just like JCPenney's or mall shopping. I don't like what JCPenney's has got to offer. I'm going to go over here to Dillard's. Dillard's costs too much, so I'm going to go to Macy's. Macy's costs so much, so I'm going to go to Ross. We're not shopping for. Bible calls them watchmen that stand upon the wall. That's what the Bible calls them. And the Lord said in the book of Ezekiel, he said, hey, watchman, he said, if I tell you that the sword's coming, and if you warn the people and they don't heed the warning, blood's going to be on their hands. The sword is still going to come, and the sword is going to kill them. He said, if I tell you that the sword is going to come, and you just decide that you're not going to tell them, the sword is still going to come, and the sword is going to kill them, but I'm going to require their blood on your hands. He's just letting the watchman know. If you're going to be a watchman, then you're going to have a backbone to preach. And so Jesus said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Many, not just a few, many. I'm not talking about David Koresh deceiving just a compound full. I'm not talking about the individual who was able to sell his Kool-Aid and get him off into the foreign place and stuff and to that few. I'm talking about many. I'm talking about nations. He said, because iniquity, you know what iniquity is? It's just simply lawlessness. No laws. I just do what I want to do. Don't matter what the Bible says, I just do what I want it to. And he said, because that iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want you to think about that. Because iniquity, lawlessness, iniquity produces rebellion. You go to the book of Ezekiel, see that iniquity was found in Satan, not rebellion, but because iniquity was found, lawlessness. You don't have any law in your life, so you rebel against law. So iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love for what? Not the love for your husband or the love for your wife. That can be a product of, but it's for the love of God. Love for God waxes cold because that iniquity abounds. The love, well, you got to love God before it can diminish. He's warning the church here. Timothy's, Paul's admonition to Pastor Timothy over in his letter, he says, last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And such, he was writing to Timothy about Timothy's church. He wasn't writing to Timothy because he said that men would become unholy. You don't find holy men in the world. You find holy men in the church. So Paul wasn't writing about the general public. He was writing about things that's going to take place in the church. Jesus said, because that iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so, oh, Lord help me, I ain't never going to get done. Your prevailing atmosphere is very essential to your spiritual condition. Let me give you a prime example. This afternoon it's going to be really, really hot. It's supposed to be in the upper to mid-90s. You know what you need? You need an ice cream bar. You need some type of ice cream. Put it in a bowl. Put it on a stick. Call it a popsicle. Call it a sundae. Call it a blizzard. Call it a concrete. Call it whatever you want. And then just enjoy it and go sit outside in your lawn chair. Because your ice cream ain't going to stay ice cream. It's going to melt. Say, well, that's because it's so hot outside. Well, just go sit in your lazy boy. Sit inside. And just take your time and enjoy that ice cream. You know what that ice cream is going to do, don't you? It's going to melt. You know why? Because it's not in a conducive atmosphere to continue to be what it is. In order for it to be in a conducive atmosphere to be what it continues to be, it's got to be in the freezer. Take it out of the freezer and it immediately begins to melt. I'm getting revelations already. Don't think that you can stay away from the church and continue to be a Christian. Don't think that you can hang around with ungodly people and continue to hold your righteousness. We've got to be a light unto the world, and we've got to do that. But you've got to get back to the, it's not the freezer, it's the red hot apostolic church. You know, when it's freezing cold outside and it's like negative 10, and what you want is a nice steaming hot cup of coffee or a nice steaming hot bowl of chili or soup or something, you take it off of the stove and it's just simmering, and that first sip, you're like, that's hot. You don't have to blow on it. You don't have to do anything. Just sit there for a little while. And it'll become lukewarm. And then it'll get cold and you'll want to take it back to the microwave. The atmosphere that you hang out in affects who and what you are. Praise God. That was free. I'm a half a page into this. Iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endure, that doesn't sound like anything that's pleasant. He that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to endure some things. Ridicule, slander, hate, bitterness, lies, facetiousness, ridicule. Oh, the list goes on and on and on. With the world getting worse by the day and spiritual oppression going stronger and stronger by the day, pressures on the church mounting by the day, it is extremely important that we pursue for a move of God in our services. Pastor, why are you so dogmatic? Every time we come to church, you just like, you've like a, you know, just some monster up there spitting and slobber. We gotta have a move of God. Well, we do. Because I know you're not having this in your house. And we need to get back into the freezer, get back into the microwave, or get back on the stove so that we can go out there and make a difference. Make a difference. As it make a difference. You eat that ice cream too fast, what happens? You get brain freeze. You need to be able to make a difference on somebody. And you're not going to make a difference in somebody's life being lukewarm. You got to be what God wants you to be. Be what God intends you to be to make a difference in somebody else's life. They're in chaotic times. They're
They're white. Their life is turned upside down. Their life has been, amen, tossed to and fro. Their life has experienced the chaos of this world, and they need a move of God. Amen. We don't need to be so partial, amen, and so close-minded that we need a move of God in here, and that's only the place. You need a move of God everywhere that you go. You need a move of God in your home. You need a move of God in your family. You need a move of God in your life. You need a move of God in your house. You need a move of God on your job site. You're saying people are going to start talking in tongues on my job site. That may be the only Bible that they read, the only church that they partake of. I've had construction men, hard construction men with hard hats on, amen, working in a world of perversion, amen, from every form and every fashion, talking about the things that they did last night and the alcohol that they consumed and all of that. I've talked to them about the Bible. 10 minutes later, I can't find them. And when I find them, they're on the outside, off to themselves, with tears running down their face. I'm talking about we got to have a move of God. If they're not going to come here, we got to take it there. You've got to declare to yourself, I will be a move of God in chaotic times. I've got to be a move of God. I've got to be what this world needs. Oh, God, help us. Your neighbor needs a move of God. If you can't get them to the church, you're going to have to find a place in your closet, and you're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to say, God, I need you to open up a door of utterance. I need a move of God in this place. I need a move of God in my neighborhood. I need a move of God on my job site. If I can't get them to come to church, then help me to be able to speak Bible to them. Let me tell them there's hope, there's redemption, there's mercy. You can have dreams resurrected, and you've got passion. You can be saved. God is willing to help you. Let's stand here this morning. Let me give you a Bible. Let me give you a Bible for what I'm preaching here tonight. Jesus went to the synagogue. And told everybody that he had put a door hanger on the demoniac of Gadara's current tombstone, inviting him to church, and was waiting for him to come so that he could be set free. Is that what happened? Well, you know that's not what happened. But the Bible says that Jesus went across the water. He wasn't surprised when the demoniac came out of the tombs, and he knew he was there. You know how vile and putrid this world is. You know pretty much what happens even with the co-workers that work around you. You know why? They have no shame. They have no shame to talk to you about what happened last night or what happened this weekend. Immorality that they were involved in, and they can get explicit about it. What they have to say doesn't shock you as much as if they showed up at church. That's the truth. Jesus went to Gadara because he knew a man was there that was in need. And he knew that man wasn't going to come to church. He knew that man wasn't going to finish the synagogue. And so Jesus basically stated, I'm going to be the move of God that he needs in his life. And so he went to him. And we know what happened. You say, well,
That was just Jesus. That's what he was expected to do. Because everywhere that Jesus went, he had a quote-unquote move of God. We're not Jesus. We're not God manifest in the flesh. Well, let's look at what Jesus taught. Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together. He didn't say only at the church where two or three are gathered together, but he said wherever it is. Just because I'm not in the building with you doesn't mean I'm not agreeing with you. You can be at your job ready to talk to somebody and you're like, you know what, I'd need a move of God in this chaotic moment. God just pushes somebody's button. You know that's the truth. I've gotten text messages from some of you. So would you pray for me at this moment? You pray, well, we're agreeing together. There's times that I'm going through something or whatever, and maybe one of you would text me. Brother Troy, I can't tell you the number of times that your text has just lifted me up. He just texts me and says, love you, Pastor, and praying for you today. You know what's happening? We're agreeing together. Others of you have done the exact same thing. You know what's happening? We're agreeing together in the name of Jesus. And he said, wherever, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You know what he said before that? Let me tell you. Verily I say unto you, everybody said, me. Yeah, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, this power is not mine alone. He stated at one time, all power in heaven and earth belongs unto me. But he's not talking about that or referring this to. He's talking to them. He's talking to us. He's talking to me. Jesus is talking to you. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I had a family visiting church with us one time, and they had a little boy that was, he was just a boy. I don't remember how old he was, but he is just a boy. He is very, 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 very disruptive. And they had come to church before, and parents could not. They couldn't concentrate on church, receive anything from church, because their boy was just running around. And so that night, they came to church, and I just prayed. I said, God, would you cause a deep sleep to come upon Oakley? And just let him sleep. I mean, how does anybody sleep in a Pentecostal church? I may need to come ask some of you, but God forgive me. I pray, God, would you cause a deep sleep to come upon Oakley like came upon Adam? I don't want Oakley to wake up married, but he's not old enough for that. But his parents need to hear the word of God. You guessed it. Oakley fell fast asleep. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I understand that a lot of that is figuring out what God has already bound in the heavens, and so you're in sync. It's not God coming into sync with you, but it's actually you coming into sync with God. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them and my Father, of them and my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Mark chapter number 11, verse 22. Jesus answering them said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, everybody say me. He's talking to you. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Somebody's having a move of God. John chapter number 14 and verse number 12. Jesus says, verily I say unto Jesus says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, as long as you're in the synagogue. John chapter number 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What he's saying is, don't put me in a box. Don't confine me to 1200 Henry. As you can see here today, you and I need a move of God, but how many countless thousands outside this door need a move of God? You're going to have to decide for yourself, I will be the move of God that they need. You want your cousins saved? Be the move of God that they need. You want your family saved? Be the move of God that they need. Be the light that they need to come out of darkness into this marvelous light. Don't be being a hypocrite around them. Don't be a compromiser around them. Don't be succeeding to their pressures and things like that. You be the move of God that you're praying for them to be saved. How are they going to be saved if you're not living it in front of them? You got to be the move of God that they need. You want some examples of this? Jesus sent the disciples, not the 12, but the 70. He sent them all out. He said, I want you to go out in pairs. Go, go, go. We heard that a few times at Pete, didn't we? Go. He said, I want you to get out of here. Go into the highways, into the byways, and be the move of God that they need. They came back astounded, and they said, we weren't in the synagogue, but we were surprised that demons were subject unto us by thy name. You know what they were saying? We did exactly what you said, and we had a move of God in a chaotic time. We're amazed at all of those that believed upon your name. What Jesus was saying is, it works. It works. It works. Stop doubting it. It works. Amen. It works. Day of Pentecost happened. They was all in the church. They were all in the upper room. 120 received the Holy Ghost in the church, but 3,000 received the Holy Ghost outside of the church. Multitudes received the Holy Ghost outside of the church. 5,000 received the Holy Ghost outside of the church. They was in a world of compromise, in a world of chaos, and they were receiving the Holy Ghost on the outside. As a matter of fact, Peter and John were going to the temple, going to a certain place at a certain time. And the Bible said that they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And when they got there, it wasn't in the church, it was outside the church. They saw a lame man that was there, and that lame man needed a move of God. The lame man just didn't know he needed a move of God. He thought he needed more money. And so he said, alms, alms, alms. Peter looked at him and he said, son, he said, listen here, buddy. He said, you need more than money, because I don't have any money.
Silver and gold have I none, but I do have a move of God I can give you. He said, I do have a move of God that I can give you. We're not in the church yet, but let's just go ahead and have a move of God. Silver and gold have I none. This world needs a move of God in a chaotic time. But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached down and grabbed him by the hands and pulled him up. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. And the Bible said that he went running and leaping and praising God into the temple. Amen. Because he had had a move of God in his world of chaos. These altars are open here today. I wonder if anybody wants to be a move of God. Instead of waiting on the Lord, waiting on you, waiting on you. I'm not waiting on God. Amen. Jesus said, amen, if two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm coming down. He said, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, amen, he's coming down. Amen. He talked all about that. He said, if you will draw nigh unto me, he said, don't wait until I get there. Just go ahead and draw nigh. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. When you're at your job and you're praying and you say, God, I need you. I need your help. You're going to have to give me the words to say. Amen. And God puts the words in your mouth. And when you speak liberty. You speak hope. You speak redemption. You speak salvation. You speak mercy. You speak faith, and something is loosed in the spirit, and somebody says, I want what you've got. What is happening? You're having a move of God in a chaotic time. Somebody is saying, I want what you've got. Amen. It's a move of God that set me free. You're speaking to a mountain, and a mountain of doubt is fading away. You're speaking to a mountain, and fear is dissipating. You're speaking to unbelief, and salvation is beginning to shine. You've got to be a move of God. If you can't get them here, take it there. You've got to be a move of God in a dark world, in a chaotic world. The Bible says that the Spirit of God moved, and then God began to speak. You want God to speak? Get the Spirit moving. You want God to speak? Begin to magnify Him. You want God to speak? Invite Him into your room. Invite Him into your cubicle. Invite Him onto your workplace. You want God to speak? Amen. Get a move of God. Be a move of God. Be a facilitator of the presence of God. Be a facilitator of the move of God. Amen. Be a facilitator of the will of God. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Be a facilitator, amen, of the favor of God. Be the facilitator of hope, the facilitator of salvation, the facilitator of mercy, the facilitator of healing. Amen. You can have it right where you are. You don't have to have them come to church. Amen. That's the ultimate goal, is to get them there. But be a move of God where it needs. You don't have to have the pastor show up. It's good when he does. But you can pray the prayer of faith. Amen. You may not have time to wait for me to get there. You can take him by the hand and you can say, you know what, let's pray right now. I want you to pray until all of heaven breaks loose. I want you to pray until heaven comes down and hell turns loose. Amen. I want you to pray until something can be felt. Amen. Pray, pray, pray. All of heaven is going to show up. When you begin to draw nigh unto God, God's coming down to where you are in that dark infested world. All of a sudden, a glimmer of light, a light of hope begins to shine. Why? I am a move of God. I am a move of God. I am going to be the spark spark that causes the fire to break loose. I'm going to speak Jesus. I'm going to live Jesus. I'm going to uphold Jesus. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to pray by faith. I'm going to speak by faith. And I'm expecting something to happen. Amen. Because there's going to be a move of God. And God's going to speak. God's going to come. The Holy Ghost is going to give you what you ought to say. The Holy Ghost is going to bring back to your memory scripture. The Holy Ghost is going to begin to speak prophetically. Oh, Pastor, I was scared. I didn't even know what I said until I said it. That's the Holy Ghost. That's God showing up in your situation. That's God showing up in your dilemma. That's God setting the captive free. That's God healing the lame. That's God healing the cancer. That's God raising up, amen, the dead spiritualness of individuals. That's God bringing revival to your family. You've got to declare, I've got to be a move of God. I've invited them to church and they didn't come. I've wanted to bring them to church and they haven't come. I said I would bring them and they didn't come. I invited them to eat afterwards and they didn't come. I've got to be a move of God. I've got to go into the highways and to the byways and compel. I've got to take a move of God to them. I'm just telling you, God's got greater things for us than just 1,200 Henry. God's got greater things for us than just 35 to 40 in attendance. God's got greater things, amen, than just Sunday morning and Sunday night. God's got greater things than just having good church. Miracles, signs, wonders, revival, outpouring of the Holy Ghost, buildings filling up. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you need to be careful. Yeah, you're starting to sound like a liberal. You're starting to sound. I'm just telling you, this is the will of God. It's not God's will that any should perish. God wants to save everybody. We've got to be open to that. We got to have the same mindset. We got to have the same vision. Amen. We got to see beyond this building field. We got to see beyond all of these things. We got to see in the Holy Ghost. How does it happen? We have to become a move of God. We have to orchestrate a move of God. We've got to take it to our coworkers. We've got to take it to our families. We got to do more than just invite. We've got to be a move of God. We've got to be what they need. We've got to go across the lake, amen, to bring Jesus to them. We've got to go, amen, to the funeral homes to bring life unto them. We've got to go across the sea to bring life unto them. We've got to go beyond the street. We've got to get across the street. We've got to get to the next neighborhood. We've got to get into our jobs. We've got to get into the areas of false doctrine. We've got to get into the areas inhabited by gross darkness. And we've got to speak light. We've got to be a move of God. And God said, let there be light. And before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there was electricity, amen, there was light. Revelation, enlightenment comes. Praise God. Thank God. But you got to be a move of God. Chaotic times. Well, you know what, Pastor? The atmosphere wasn't conducive. Was it chaotic? It was quite chaotic. You got to be a move of God in chaotic times. Pastor, it was intense hatred and bitterness and vitriol and stuff. Yeah, you got to be a move of God in chaotic times. Pastor, it was overwhelming darkness. There was a spirit of darkness that was about there. You got to be a move of God in chaotic times. Hey, man, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's love him.